Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem Feedback and Insights, Shir number 150. We're talking about a level of intimacy called opinions, sharing hashkafos. And we talked in the last shir about if you have a common ground of serving Hashem and Torah values, and that is that sane touchstone that will help you in every situation and in every interaction, even when you disagree. And now we're going to talk more about that, about how to disagree, how to agree and disagree in a healthy way. And for some people, agreeing is a way of life. That's their style. Other people, disagreeing is the way of life. And each one chooses each mode as a default position, sometimes the way they were brought up, culture, so on and so forth. You have great minds and great souls seek out points of genuine agreement with people. Not because they want to placate somebody or make them feel good, but they really want to get to an authentic agreement where they both genuinely agree with each other at whatever point that agreement may be. That's called authentic agreement. A genuine agreement is when both parties see the truth of that point of view. Now, when they're in complete agreement, then there's not much of a conversation. But if you're highly argumentative and everyone makes the point of disagreeing with someone else, it could be overwhelming or irritating or tiresome. So the best thing is somewhere in the middle. Agreeing with people is easy if you put away all your personal preferences and ideas, but you won't gain anything from it. The art is to find genuine agreement between people that may seemingly disagree in many aspects and still find a common goal to agree with. So the idea is when a husband and wife, or any interaction between the chaveroi, but especially husband and wife, they are having authentic discussion about budgeting, about the children, about hashkafa. The key when they're talking to each other is to explore the subject matter. The importance is not who's right. Neither one is starting this discussion trying to say that I'm right and you're not right and I'm going to show you the way. No. The idea is to explore the subject. We have an issue with a child. We have an issue in that marriage. We want to work it through. You're not a criminal lawyer. You don't have to argue your case. And you're not a criminal lawyer to the extent that you attempt to win, whether, you know, regardless of the guilt or innocence of the client. The key is to remove your ego, focus on the subject matter at hand. And that's when your conversation will bring payrise. It'll be tremendous. The key really is to make a real effort to see the other person's point of view. Try to figure out that path that led your husband or wife to that opinion that they are having now. Try to understand the logic behind that opinion. Ask yourself, are there any situations and circumstances where the other person, your husband or wife, may be right? And when you discover that, describe those circumstances, express your agreement with him or with her under those circumstances. If you have a broader mind, you take delight when you see points of agreement within a disagreement. So even though there's an overall disagreement, but there's points that you both agree on, that is a tremendous nachas ruach. It brings a tremendous connection when you acknowledge that difference. To be open to new ideas, not shut yourself off from the possibility that you may be wrong. If you're open to new ideas and different subjects, that's a beautiful thing. A closed mind is very rigid, established to held views, not willing to entertain any new ideas, which could become boring and oppressive. But the idea of taking delight in the newness of things and sharing things, that's very, very healthy. The art of agreeing is not so easy for people these days because people argue to assert their authority or superiority, but that you're not being true to yourself when you do that. Now, there are people who disagree in very rude ways, in very aggressive ways. Some people like to disagree just for the fun of it. They enjoy the battle, or they want to show that they're winning. Some boost their egos by fighting. Some who disagree, they bully other people. Some disagree for no other reason than to show how smart they are academically. And those who disagree is because they don't know what the conversation is about. So there's a certain superiority that you're feeling when you do this. So it's very often tempting to take the other path and say, no, I'll just agree with them. But learning to disagree in a healthy way maintains everyone's dignity, and it's a very important thing in a relationship. Very important thing in a marriage to learn to disagree. But when you do disagree, you do so very politely, you do so very gently, because aggressive disagreement will not help. It is less effective than gentle disagreements. Gentle, clear disagreements are healthier than aggressive disagreements. So that's very, very important, because your emotions overloaded by your aggression, and that'll create an unhealthy mode of communication when you're disagreeing. But agreeing and disagreeing are part of every conversation in every relationship, in every marriage you're going to have this, because you're indeed two different people. Now, the idea is, with this level of intimacy, of sharing opinions and hashkafos, it's impossible to avoid self-revelation. You're going to reveal part of yourself. Why? Because every opinion that you say says something about who you are. It indirectly reveals what your core values are, what your expectations are, what your beliefs are. People never learn to thrive in this level of intimacy of sharing hashkafos and opinions because they never develop the maturity necessary to be with people whose hashkafos differ from your own. So their relationships have become boring and die slowly because the two earlier levels of superficiality and the facts is not enough to maintain a relationship. We need to share opinions as well. And in order to share it in a safe way, you need something called acceptance. Acceptance is a key to this third level of intimacy, which is opinions. If two people can develop the acceptance necessary to respect each other's opinions and to enjoy each other's company, despite the fact that you have differences of opinion, but maintained with the common truth searching, then something wonderful happens, and the gates of intimacy swing open, and you become one with your spouse. Many people believe that understanding is the key to have great relationships. We try to figure ourselves out, we try to figure other people out, and we tell ourselves, if I understand this person, I'll accept him, or when I understand my wife, I'll love her. When I understand my husband, I'll respect him. But this doesn't work. It's like sort of, like he says, Matthew Kelly, it's like you tell a fireplace, I'll give you wood when you give me heat. You've got to give me heat first, and then I'll give you the wood. That's the way we sometimes treat this with our relationship, with our husbands, and with our wives. In other words, I don't understand you, therefore I don't accept you, and I don't love you. So then everyone is distant from each other. But if you nurture genuine intimacy, the approach is more radically proactive than this and more positive. I love you. I accept you, even though I don't understand you. That's called ahava she'eina tluya b'davar. It's not connected to anything, any agenda. There's no, tit for tat over here. And it's important to acknowledge this. And do you say, I love myself and accept myself, even though I don't understand myself? Or I don't understand myself, and therefore I don't love and accept myself. The truth is that the more we are told, the more we're able to accept ourselves, the more we'll be able to accept others. Acceptance of others is only possible if we accept ourselves. So it's not understanding necessarily that is the key to this level of sharing opinions and being intimate that way, but it's the acceptance of things. If you don't have acceptance, then there's many barriers and defense systems. So The idea is we are afraid to reveal of ourselves because we're afraid we're going to be subject to criticism or to judgments. So acceptance gives us the courage to be ourselves and reveal freely, which is risky. So it's very important to understand that. You know, Matthew Kelly himself, interesting. He writes he had 7 brothers, no sisters, and he attended an all-male school, so he barely had any interactions with females other than his mother, who tried to educate him as best as she could. And one day when he was little, but he remembers this, she told him, women are not to be understood. They are to be accepted. Meaning they are to be accepted as they accept their own matzav in life. And that's true, he believes, not just for women, but for every person, every human being. And when we accept people for who they are, then we will reach that level of intimacy to begin to understand them. When we understand them, we think when we understand them, we'll accept them. It's impossible to understand the person totally. You need to accept them first. And when two people, especially a husband and wife, develop a maturity to accept each other for who they are and where they are in their own journey, then they make progress in their quest for intimacy. In every relationship with your husband, with your wife, with your child, your teenage child, and so on and so forth, the role and power of acceptance is truly remarkable, truly remarkable. And we place too much emphasis on understanding, and we overlook the extraordinary power of acceptance. It's allowing people to become themselves rather than trying to push and stall. Again, it's the ability to allow people to be themselves and not push each other and not convince each other into being what you want them to be or what you imagine them to be. It means that you are a witness to the other person's journey. You're not being manipulative in any way. You're not being controlling in any way. And most of the stresses in our lives and in our relationships is caused by our failure to employ the healthy acceptance. Like, for example, you know, if there's an accident that caused the traffic jam and you're venting, we realize it's useless to vent. Because no matter how frustrated or restless you are or how angry you are or how anxious you are about being stuck in traffic for that half hour, it's not going to change things. You can't change the universe. You need to see that also clearly with other people. You can't change other people. You can only work on yourself. You see it in the airport also. A plane is delayed, a flight is canceled, whether because of weather or mechanical difficulties. And at the service counter, there's a man screaming at the airline agent. What's he screaming for? You think the person behind the counter, the airline agent, controls the weather? Or has an extra $100 million aircraft in her garage at home that she could take you to where you need to go? So the same thing is with our relationships. We allow ourselves to become frustrated or angry or restless or anxious over things that are way beyond our control. And we need to stop fighting, stop resisting, appreciate every moment as it needs to be, and you surrender to it and you immerse yourself in it. And that's so important. Part of this being able to be calm in all situations, not being frustrated, is to learn how to live in the present moment. When you refuse to accept the present moment, your life meets resistance. When you accept and surrender to the present moments, then things happen, things heal. Acceptance is the wisdom to take people as they occur, situations as they occur, circumstances as they occur, elements as they occur, instead of trying to impose our agenda and opinions on them. And then we truly begin to live when we have that acceptance that liberates us. We mentioned in a previous share this prayer that is so important to internalize. That's the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the strength to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. this is the biggest sight in life, and you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this Yishav Hadas, for this calmness and this clarity of mind. So, so important. So we don't need to understand everything. Just like we can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully either. Acceptance doesn't mean either that you accept everyone else's opinion, but you don't accept your own. No, you accept your own as well. You accept other people's opinions for who they are and where they are, and recognize their opinions are a product of their own unique experience of life. And the idea is if you remain open to new ideas and new beliefs and new opinions, then things will grow tremendously. Always be open to new ideas. And then you'll find it easier to accept people and easier to accept a great variety of different opinions. Be'ezus Hashem. Bracha natzlacha.